You've tuned in to Radio Northern Beaches. We live stream on rnb.org.au across the northern beaches of New South Wales, Australia and all over the world. You can also catch us local on 88.7 and 90.3 FM. Our podcasts are available at your convenience at rnb.org.au or rnbpodcast.com.au. So you and your friends don't miss any episodes, don't forget to follow and share. Now here's our latest podcast. In this episode, we're talking to Harry Muchmore from Brookvale Industrial Maintenance, and we're talking about concrete cancer. Today, we're talking with Harry from BIM. Thank you for coming, Harry. We're friends from quite a long time now. I've forgotten how many years. And full disclosure, I did work for this company for a very short period of time. So, Harry, thank you for coming. You're a local.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chrissy. Yeah, I live in Beacon Hill. I've got a young family, a 7-year-old, 5-year-old and a 10-month-old, so I'm very much in the trenches.
Oh my gosh, are you getting any sleep?
I'm certainly losing hair, that's for sure.
Yeah, young ones can do that to you. So how long have you been working for BIM?
I've been with BIM actually almost 9 years.
Oh, really?
So I've been with the company quite a while. My career history is I've been working in new construction before that since the age of about 16. I'm 37 now, and specifically in remedial for the last 9 years, which is very much an interesting space to work in. And there's certainly, as you will know, Chrissy, never a dull moment.
Never. There's always a drama. Let's have a look at the Northern Beaches and the subject of concrete cancer, because I know, being in the building trade myself and in the strata trade, that this is a major issue that people just do not understand. And there's a misconception about a lot of it. And there's also an ignorance about the fact that if you see rust in concrete, you need to do something about it straight away. Let me ask you this first question, because a lot of people don't know what concrete cancer is. So what is concrete cancer and why is it common in buildings on the northern beaches?
Yeah, sure. So concrete cancer occurs when the steel reinforcement within the concrete begins to corrode. Certainly in coastal areas, as you discussed, like the northern beaches, eastern suburbs, all up and down the east coast, really, these buildings, essentially when the concrete doesn't have the protection on the steel reinforcement, it can expand and leads to cracks and spalling, which can weaken the integrity of the structure.
Yeah, and also we know that magnesite is a problem with causing concrete cancer. Explain to us, what is magnesite and when was it used and why is it an issue?
And magnesite is one of these products we probably wish we could uninvent. Used very much so in the 60s, 70s and 80s in and around Sydney and also around the world. But in Australia, certainly in the Sydney region, it was used the most. It was a self-leveling compound, a floor leveling, that they thought was great because it essentially had acoustic properties, and in strata blocks especially, you'd have that transfer of noise that wouldn't go quite as far with the magnesite around it. So yeah, essentially, unfortunately, when it reacts with water, it can release its chloride into the concrete, which rusts the steel and accelerates it much faster than without magnesite being there. So removing it is quite important, and that's probably one of the big parts of the job that we do.
Yeah, I think when I try to explain it to people, it's really hard to have them understand. You know, some people have the concept of, you know, what concrete cancer is. Others have no idea. And I think the thing that I explain most to people that have no knowledge of what it is it's like termites. You get a spot where it starts and then it just keeps eating away and it gets through the concrete into the rio that's within the concrete, and then you're in trouble. If you're seeing rust, then you need to do something about it straight away.
Yeah, and where there's usually a floor covering in an apartment, especially whether it's carpet or wooden floors or vinyl, it can often go unnoticed. And a lot of what we come up against is when the floors are replaced, that's when it gets discovered, either by a floor layer or someone doing a renovation. They generally call their stratas or can call their builder and say, what's this stuff? Which is often when we get Googled and get a call from someone who had no idea they were up against this and had budgeted for a renovation, and now all of a sudden they're up against this disaster product that was created way back when.
And it can get to the stage where they notice notice it when they pull up the flooring, but you've got a situation where, as I said, you have to chase it. And so pricing can be an issue here too, because when you start to dig into it and figure out what's going on, it's crept in under cupboards, under fridges, through the other side of walls. It can be a major drama to actually chase it down, can't it?
Yeah, pricing it can be very difficult, certainly to give the client an expectation of what to understand and expect, because it's generally, as an industry standard, would be quoted on a litre rate, which is obviously a volume of space. We would usually allow for a certain amount of litres to say, and that can grow or shrink depending on the extent. It would often start around the places in the building of high moisture ingress, like in and around the bathroom or outside the or just inside the sliding door, or if a wall's or a window's been leaking. And it grows, if left, the longer it's left, it grows further away from those areas into the other areas of the property. So that's why it's really important it gets cleaned properly and chased, as you said, along those steel bars. If it's locally chopped out and left, and there's other sections of rust within that area, it being cancerous will just travel back and the whole process will start again.
I've actually seen an experience where they've had to take out a whole floor, all the rear, all the concrete, which is really hard because you lose that structural integrity, and then they've got to put extra posts and whatever in under the floor, which disappears the garage space. Fortunately, it was on the bottom floor. Mm-hmm. And you've lost a whole floor, which is the extreme and doesn't happen so often, but there's many times you can chase it through to the ceiling below, and you know, as you're doing it, sometimes the ceiling will just give because it's so fragile. What's the worst case you've come across?
Yeah, and you're exactly right, and there's a few variables that will affect the extent of the concrete cancer. One that I touched on earlier is the level of or the amount of concrete protecting the steel reinforcement. If that isn't enough, being 30 to 40 millimetres, depending on when it was built, the process happens a lot faster. So there's obviously a certain amount of time that goes past where the chlorides have time to get to that steel and rust it out. Now, often there's two layers of steel in most structural slabs, not all, but in a building slab or a floor slab, there'll be two layers of steel. And when the lower level of steel gets interfered with by the chloride level, then that will rust out too, meaning both layers of steel have corroded, meaning the whole section will often have to be cut out and doweled and reformed and poured as a new section of concrete.
And that's a major drop.
Which is major. It's like open heart surgery on a building. It's it's not minor works. It's in a strata block, for example, someone's floor and someone's ceiling in most cases. So it's a huge interference and difficult to manage. Certainly to someone who was living in a unit one day and then told their ceilings have to be cut out the next day. It's not easy.
And it's a major disruption, and some people just can't understand why it affects the property below. But as I said, sometimes you come through and the rest of it just crumbles. So what are some of the visible signs of concrete that you need to look out for in both, you know, units and housing?
Yeah, so common signs would include cracking or flaking of the concrete, exposed steel reinforcement, rust-coloured stains that would be seeping through cracks, or you just might notice parts of concrete breaking away, certainly on corners of balconies or facades or beams. Often we can see from balconies what's called efflorescence coming through, which will generally be white. The concern to start looking for concrete cancer is when that whiteness turns to an orange staining. It means there's steel somewhere that's reacting with the salts. There's a concrete cancer of some kind in there.
A lot of people see that, you know, bit of flaking off the balconies or off the walls and just think, oh, well, that's just age.
Yeah, I think we're all the same. You usually put something off until you absolutely have to. And we've seen staircases literally about to fall down or balconies with huge cracks in and people not doing anything about it. And unfortunately, we're the ones that deliver the bad news when we open it up and see how much it's going to cost. But it's one of those things. Preemptive measures are really important, and getting in front of it as quickly as you can is super important.
Yeah, I don't think we can stress that just so much, that people need to really pay attention to any of those signs, because if you don't, what happens is the cost blows out. And we often find that people alert a strata manager or the committee, and it's kind of dismissed as, oh, yeah, well, yeah, it's not a major drama. We'll sort it out later down the track. And then when they have to deal with it, the expense is just extraordinary.
Yeah, exactly right. And we've been asked to paint buildings before where we've looked at them and said, well, hang on a sec, you guys have got some bigger issues here that you can't just paint over. There's structural problems going on. And, you know, sometimes it's well received, sometimes it's not. Often people just don't like getting back what they thought they had in the first place.
This is true. Okay, so where should we look for the concrete cancer specifically? Where's the most common places you'll find it?
Yeah, key areas to check are balconies, walkways, staircases, under swimming pools, in basement ceilings, exterior facades, and especially areas facing the ocean. And it's on the northern beaches, southern, eastern corners are a big problem. And in strata blocks, the higher you get, usually the more the issues as well, being so expensive.
Yeah, I think the other thing that that I found working in the industry was the brick facades. People didn't realise that where the salt and the wind have taken out the concrete between the brickwork, it's really taking out the structure. And when they leave it and you see these brick walls with practically no concrete in between them, you just think, oh my God, that is just a wall waiting to drop.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's just, you can look out for the same defects, you know, any kind of cracking or brick, that when the faces start to delaminate, it's when you know there's a problem going on and there's something you should get a professional around to have a look and inspect.
So how can we distinguish between what is regular wear and what is concrete cancer? I know you've told us the specifics of, you know, the rust and what to look for there, but just again, just go over what would you see with normal wear and why does concrete cancer show up differently?
Many professionals have got it wrong, and it can be difficult to distinguish the difference. What I often look for if I'm trying to understand if a building has concrete cancer, there will be patterns. The cracks will follow the line of the steel reinforcement where you know it should be. You're not always guaranteed to know exactly where it is unless you've had the building scanned for the steel reinforcement, but there'll certainly be cracks that are common with where the steel should be and bulging areas that you'll notice that are not consistent with usual wear and tear. Wear and tear cracks can sometimes be diagonal or not consistent with a parallel crack to a concrete substrate, for example.
I think it's important to mention here, especially for strata blocks, that when they have their reports done on the building for their, you know, financials going forward, I very rarely used to see there was any consideration for the cost of repairs to concrete cancer. I don't know why that is. Perhaps maybe it had something to do with the insurance. But I think it's really important, even if they don't, if these reports don't put in a costing for concrete cancer, I believe that there should be money put away each year in their budget to cover that, because that is the biggest issue, I believe, when it comes to the cost of this particular problem, is 9 times out of 10, they don't have the money and they haven't prepared for it.
And that, yeah, that's exactly right.
And there then you get the blame for putting the cost down.
Well, there aren't many buildings that are proactive enough to preempt this fear of concrete cancer. And I think it's education. It's understanding that you own a building with very close to the ocean that's a concrete structure. It's a very good chance, depending on the year it was built, it's going to have concrete cancer of some kind. And you're right, a lot of buildings do not have a healthy wealth account in their sinking funds to you know, often there'll be projects like painting is up there. A lot of people will save up for painting, but really that should be right down the priority list, because it's an aesthetic pleasure that is lovely when people are selling, but when there's a big issue like concrete cancer, that can have, you know, massive effects onto cost of apartments and buildings or houses if found in a building report, which often they are. And more we're seeing now engineers' reports are allowing for concrete cancer, and often generously allowing for concrete cancer.
Well, that's good news.
I've been out,
you know, I'm retired, I've been out for a little while, and that was one of the biggest issues I had with the reports, that, you know, it is one of the most important structural issues in buildings. buildings, especially around salt water, that we have. I know we've gone over all the different signs and so forth, but let's just concentrate on why it's so important to address it early and have health checks on your building, for instance. Why is it so important to have it done quickly? And as I said, I try to explain to people that it's like termites. If you don't get to it quickly, then it just takes off. And it doesn't take, you know, like a year, 2 years, 3 years. It once it starts, it progresses quite quickly, doesn't it?
So yeah, it's definitely exponential. So once the concrete cracks, it accelerates at a rate of knots. And like I said, with that, the cost goes up. If it's concrete cancer that's on a balcony, it's going to travel both ways, inside and outside further.
Yeah, we often get it under the doors, don't you? So you start chasing it on the balcony and then you've got it going in under the door. So all the door frames end up being pulled out.
That's right.
And you find it inside.
Yeah, that's right. And we've even seen, if you've driven around, you know, Sydney and the coastal areas, you'll see often balconies are propped, and that's because an engineer would have been worried about the junction. That junction between inside and outside is being compromised some way through concrete cancer. And sometimes balconies can look okay, but underneath the surface they're really not. And all balconies, because they are a cantilevered structure, they do what's called creep over time. Now, whether that's a safe amount of creep or not is something that most common people wouldn't be able to pick up. It's an engineer's job to have a look at and to make sure if your balcony's got bricks on it or some heavy plants that it's okay, because often when these buildings were designed, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, 70s, very different standards to now. And people load them up, plants and bricks, and have a party with 10 people. And next thing you know, you've got way too much weight on these balconies that also potentially have underlying concrete cancer issues. There haven't been too many horror stories, thank God, but it's certainly something that you wouldn't want to risk if you were in an old building. So I think health checks, like you touched on earlier, is really important.
With BIM, when they're called out to do a health check, what is it you do?
Yeah, so we often, when we're called up, we ask what the problem is, what they'd like to understand from us. And usually it's a concrete cancer issue or something that we can address on our website, whether it's waterproofing. We'll do a consultation with the building and walk around, see what the issues are. If it's within our realm of what we're allowed to do, because the rules are ever changing on what we can and can't do now with or without an engineer's supervision. If it's very minor and aesthetic, we can quote it ourselves and give a price going forward. However, now certainly on strata blocks, if it's waterproofing works or major structural works, under the Design and Builders Practitioners Act, we now need to engage an engineer to oversee that. It's got very complicated, and we're probably breaching onto another issue, which might have to be for another day.
Yes, but definitely. We'll do that one another day.
But we'll give a price to rectify, and usually a ballpark, because people call us out for all different types of reasons. Sometimes they just want to get an understanding. They want a budget. I mean, bearing in mind, I feel for all these people. Certainly, I know I keep referring to stratas because that's where it's most common. But you've got a chairperson or a secretary on a committee that they're doing an unpaid job as well as their usual paid jobs. They're just trying to fit it in, and you've got a really small amount of time to educate them and get them to understand on what's going on. Often they're not building professionals or engineers. They're great in their own field of work, but that isn't structural remedial issues. So it's our job to educate and go, right, these are your options, essentially.
And a lot of people don't understand about strata, and I'm going to talk to some strata people a little bit further on in our health checks of our properties and units, that in a strata unit, you don't actually own most of the walls, the floor or the ceiling. You only own the airspace in the middle and any walls in the middle. So, and the strata owns the rest. So a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, they've got concrete cancer down there. I shouldn't have to pay for it. And the issue there is, and as Harry knows because I've gone over it with him several times over the years, is that the strata owns the whole block and they are responsible for the health of it. So it doesn't matter if you think you own your unit, you don't.
Yeah,
It's the property of the strata, and it's the strata's requirement to look after it legally.
Yeah, well, that's one of my qualifying questions now when I speak to owners and you know, members of committees on strata blocks, I say, are you aligned as a committee? It's really important now that you all are all in agreement of what should be done with the building, because, you know, everyone has their own plan of what's important, right? Some yeah. people paint, some people want the new bin bay, some people think they need a new lift, you know, it's all...
But concrete cancer will always come first. It should always
Well, it should,
come
all, it should trump all, yeah, you're yeah, exactly
because
right.
Because it just gets blown out of proportion money-wise if it gets left. What should an owner do if they suspect there's concrete cancer in their strata block? First of all, I would suggest that you immediately notify your strata manager, or if you have contact with your committee, do that. What do they need to do then?
Yeah, well, I would always recommend contacting a professional. A remedial building company, often like ourselves, would offer a free quotation service where we can give some free advice, and which you can validate with speaking to other builders. If it's a bit more high risk or there's a big concern, maybe engage a structural engineer straight away, which you would generally have to pay for. You have to pay for their time, much like a lawyer or a dentist. But yeah, just get a professional around the same way you would a house or any kind of property where you don't understand yourself. Speak to a professional.
Yes, I very highly advise that. Okay, let's have a look at regular homes. So we've talked about the strata blocks and the units, but often people used to ask me, if my driveway is cracking, is that concrete cancer?
Yeah, not always. The thing to remember with concrete is that it always cracks. When you see the council pathways or a new concrete driveway, you'll often see these little joins in it with a nice smooth edge either side of it, about 100 mil either side, and that's what's called a dummy joint. These are put in every sort of 3 meters or so to basically allow the concrete to crack in these areas as it goes off, because this is what it does. It's the nature of the beast. It cracks. It's not always something to worry about, and it's not always structural. Sometimes it can just be shrinkage cracks, and they're gonna happen. The concern of concrete cancer is when you can see major cracking that's getting worse and worse all the time, whereas a shrinkage crack often won't get much worse than it when it starts.
And there's usually a little bit of rust.
Yeah, if you start seeing rust, then that's a big cause for concern.
Yeah. Okay, so in a household, where would you normally see the concrete cancer issue? I presume in balconies for a start.
Yeah, certainly on the northern beaches, a lot of homes that have a concrete staircase running up to the entrance that has a concrete slab suspended over a garage is a lot of the time we see concrete cancer. Often they were not always built to the best standards. Back in the day, they were the 90 mil thick, which is way underrated. And we'd see concrete cancer going into a garage underneath or at the garage door, just where it gets to the edge, and what's called a drip groove. That can really minimize the amount of coverage of concrete on the steel reinforcement, which, as I said before, really, that's the protection. Most of these concrete slabs were never waterproofed, which is another big problem. Not always so much if there's a nice big chunk of protection of concrete, but if there's no waterproofing and the protection's low, then there's a good chance the steel's going to rust up and cause concrete cancer.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people look for it on top of the balcony and on top of the stairs, but nine times out of ten, you'll find it underneath.
That's right. And the reason for that is certainly back in the day, they actually used to use steel bar chairs, and bar chairs hold the steel off the formwork, right? So you can achieve that cover on the underside of the concrete. Now, when this concrete's poured, you've got guys trampling all over the steel just to pour the concrete, and that's what they're standing on. Now, that all gets crushed and pushed to the bottom of the formwork. So when it's stripped, that steel is literally kissing the bottom of the concrete. So over 60 years, it just rusts and rusts, and then just there's all the salt in the air is getting to it, and it just starts dropping off.
Just pops.
And it pops, and then you get, we come in to try and clean it, and the steel just starts disintegrating because it's just lost all its strength, and then you get bigger issues.
Well, I think we've covered almost everything as far as much information we can give everyone on concrete cancer and how it works and what needs to be done about it. You can go to the BIM website, which is...
That's right, bimsydney.com.au.
They've got pictures there and some explanations. And thank you, Harry, for coming along. It's been very informative, and we'll probably get you back on some other building issues a little bit later down the track as we go through our health on your homes.
Australia, the lucky country. We've got meat pies. We've got the world's best beer. And most importantly, top of the list, we've got Radio Northern Beaches 88.7, 90.3. Now hitting the entire world on www.rmb.org.au.